Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, dear saints of God, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. You're probably wondering, where is the music? Well, after I do my little introduction, I'll play the music for you, because the music is part of today's teaching lesson. Let's open up our Bibles to Psalm 84, verse 11, because this week, which is our second series of the year, we're talking about divine benefits for those who walk uprightly, divine benefits. Psalm 84, 11, which is a Psalm of David, reads like this. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Yesterday we talked about how the Lord God is a sun and shield. Benefit one, the Lord is likened to a sun. Benefit number two, he is likened to a shield. Today's benefits three and four. God gives grace, that's benefit three, and God gives glory, that's benefit four. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we praise your name. Lord, we draw near to your table that you may feed us with the heavenly manna. It's the only kind of manna that satisfies the hunger of our souls. Feed us, O God. Feed us and bless us, we pray. Holy Spirit, again, we yield to you. We surrender to you, Holy Spirit, that you may have your way with our minds and our hearts and our wills, that by the end of this exercise, we would yield completely to you, that you may have your way with us and make us more and more like Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. This is a Psalm of David. This is a psalm that David wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He wrote it when he was on the run. He wrote it when he was fleeing. Not from the devil, not from a foreign army. He wasn't fleeing from the Egyptians. He wasn't fleeing from the Moabites. He wasn't fleeing from the Philistines. He wasn't fleeing from the Edomites. He was fleeing from his own rebel son, Prince Absalom, who at this time was so full of the devil and so full of hatred towards his father, that he had established a coup d'etat, an overthrow, and David in his old age had to flee for his life. It is under those conditions that he pens beautiful psalm and says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. A sun to expose the works of darkness, to expose the plans of the wicked one, to bring light to who's involved and what the plan entails. He is a sun. He exposes. He illuminates. He gives us enlightenment and understanding. He gives us a complete picture of Satan's plans. But also he is a shield in that no weapon, no arsenal, no fiery darts, no flaming arrows that the devil launches our ways will ever hit Satan's desired target, which is you and I, to cut us down before God is through with us. No, God protects us. He is our shield. God is our secret servant agent. You know how presidents have secret servants, secret police, right? Secret service. Here they are. They're in the service of the president. How many presidents have gotten cut down because the Secret Service wasn't able to do what? To protect them. Now, a few Secret Service agents have gone in between the assassin's bullet and the president, and they've taken the bullet. But that's a rare case. But the Lord is our protector. He said to Abraham, I am thy shield, Abraham. I am thy shield. You fear not. And to Joseph, he says, the archers have hated you. The archers have grieved you. The archers have shot at you. But not one of the arrows has hit you, Joseph. Joseph went on to have a stellar career because God was his shield. The same promise holds true for us. God will expose every plan against you, and God will protect you from every flaming arrow Satan launches your way. But then David goes on to say in verse 11, the Lord will give grace and glory. Here's two more gifts. Here are two more benefits that God gives to his people. Grace. Now, all of us have experienced saving grace. The hymn writer put it this way, oh, what an amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Yes, we were all sinners. We were all destitute of salvation. We were all spiritually bankrupt until God poured on us his saving grace, his unmerited favor. You didn't deserve to be saved, but he saved you anyway. That saving grace. Once you become saved, once you become a believer, then you need living grace. Living grace. Well, what's living grace? Well, you have two natures. You have a spiritual nature. You have a carnal nature. And God gives you living grace so that your spiritual nature, your new man, your born-again man, may overthrow and overcome on a daily basis your old man, your sinful nature. Your new nature overpowers your sinful nature. That's what? Living grace. And then there's a third grace called ministry grace. Ministry grace is the divine enablement that God gives you to do works for him on behalf and for the betterment of his people. Preaching is a grace. Leading the people of God is a grace. Serving the people of God is a grace. Counting money and keeping accounts for the church is a grace. There are all kinds of graces in Scripture. Hospitality is a grace. Serving is a grace. Being a deacon is a grace. Being a musician is a grace. There's all kinds of graces. The ministry of helps is a grace. You see, there are different enablements that come from the Holy Spirit that are poured out on our lives so that we can in turn serve others. So there's saving grace, the grace that brings you to Christ, the grace that brings you to the foot of the cross, the grace that God gives you that you might be saved, because you can't earn your salvation, you can't buy your salvation, you merit your salvation. Salvation is a gift of God. And then God has to give you the daily grace to live this life victoriously so that the new man can overcome the old man in you and in me. And then God gives us, when we become part of a church, he gives us ministry graces so that we can serve one another. And all the glory from this service is due to God, because the graces that we receive from him are the graces that enable us to be a benefit and to be a blessing to other people. So there's saving grace, there's living grace, the grace that causes you to live the victorious Christian life over sin, the flesh, and the devil. And then there's that ministry grace in which God enables you supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. He bends your will and he bends your life for the betterment of others. Now, all throughout the New Testament, we read of this grace. And isn't it amazing that our local church, the church we belong to, is called Grace Church. Think about that. What a great name. Out of all the things that our church could have been named, the founding families, the 13 founding members, decided on the name Grace. Saving Grace, Living Grace, Ministry Grace, Supernatural Grace. You know, Paul, when he writes all his epistles, begins by talking about grace. Let me read to you just one. Let me just read one. Romans 1:7. In Romans 1:7, it reads, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." But he says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 1:3. He repeats himself in 2 Corinthians 1:2. He repeats himself in Ephesians 1:2, in Philippians 1:2, in Colossians 1:2, in 1 Thessalonians 1:1, in 2 Thessalonians 1:2, in 1 Timothy 1:2, in 2 Timothy 1:2, in Titus 1:4, and in Philemon 1:3. In all of his epistles, Paul begins by saying, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The key word is grace. The first word is grace. So David says, one of the benefits of walking uprightly is that God gives grace to each believer in abundance. Grace. Now, saving grace he gives you once. That you receive one time because you're saved one time. Saving grace, one time. But living grace, you need that every day. Every day when you get up, you need God's grace in your life so that the new man, the new creature in you, can overcome your old Adamic nature. That inner battle that you have in yourself. Today, am I going to be Adamic or am I going to be Christ-like? Am I going to be fallen and twisted like Adam, sinful like Adam, or am I going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and go from glory to glory? You see, living grace, to live the victorious Christian life, and then as a member of the church, each member is called to function. And each member receives from Christ, as Paul declares in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12:13 and 14, God gives to every member of the church a grace, an ability, a spiritual gifting by the Holy Spirit. Grace to better the church so that the church can be better off. These graces are all supernatural enablements, and they're given to us by God in abundance. Now, I want to play what would have been the introductory song. I want to play the song now. I want you to listen to this song because the song is quite instructive. The song is called God's Grace. The artist or the singer is Luther Barnes. Luther Barnes, a great gospel singer whose father was the great gospel singer, the Reverend F.C. Barnes. Here is Luther Barnes with the song entitled God's Grace. Let this song minister to you and explain to you what God's grace really is.
How did I make it this far? Through the valleys and over the hills, I know it had to be God. How did I make it through the storm? How did I make it through the rain? If you want to know just how I got here, it's so easy to explain. It was God's grace. How you brought me through the night. Lord, you kept me and you never left me. You stood by my side. There were so many times when I came so close. Oh man, death, he tried to take me in. So the reason I'm here is not hard for me to see. In fact, it's so easy for me to explain. It was God's grace.
If we were able to go back in time and interview King David and say to him, you know, how did you make it through? How did you overcome this great crisis in your life, in your family, your own son, your beloved son Absalom turned on you, got so full of the devil that he was willing to cut you down, his loving dad? David's reply would be God's grace. It was God's grace. I can tell you, you know, I had to prepare the pastoral report, right? The 2022 pastoral report. And there I am typing, I'm going over my notes, and I look back over that year and I said, how did I make it through 2022? And it was all God's grace. It's not me. You know, the old timers in church would always say when they would get up on Testimony Friday, Friday nights we had a service and people would get up and testify of how God brought them through the week, and they would all begin by saying it was God's grace. God pulled me through this entire week. This week was horrible. But I stand here tonight, Friday night, even though my Monday was horrible, my Tuesdays were horrible, but I stand here Friday night in church praising the Lord because it was God's grace. You see, this is what we have. that the unsaved don't have. They don't have God's grace. They don't have this divine enablement being given to them on a daily basis. But you and I do. And that's what makes us different. And that's what makes us overcomers. And that's what makes us triumphant. It's not our education. It's not our will. It's not our, you know, our tenacity. It's not. No, no, no. It's God's grace. You're not going to make it without God's grace. And this is why David says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. Thank God that he's a sun. Thank God that he's able to expose every plan of the enemy against us. Thank God that he's a shield, that every fiery dart the enemy launches your way becomes neutralized, comes to naught, turns to nothing, because he is both sun and shield. But then he pours on you this divine enablement so that you can go from day to day and from week to week and month to month. And when you look back over your entire life, you can say, I've made it this far by the grace of God. And I look at Grace Church and I say, you know, Grace Church is to be a haven. It's to be a place where God's grace can be poured out. And where people who want to, you know, who just want to survive this world is wicked. This world is full of traps and snares, and this world is sinful and tainted. This world will chew you up and spit you out. But if you're a believer and if you're a recipient of God's grace, you will make it. So the third benefit is God's grace. It starts with saving grace. Then on a daily basis, he gives you living grace so that you can live the victorious Christian life. And then when we come together in church, he gives us what? Ministry grace, so that we have the love and the compassion and the care and the wherewithal to minister to one another, that Grace Church may be a spiritual hospital. That Grace Church may be a place that welcomes people with open arms. Come on in. This will be a safe haven. This will be a place where you can catch your breath. This will be a place where you can heal. This can be a place where you can be strengthened. This can be a place where you can experience God. The Lord will give grace, and then what else does he give? He gives glory. You know, every day when you receive the grace of God, the Bible says that those who are recipients of the grace of God go from glory to glory. That basically means that they go from one spiritual level to a higher spiritual level. Let me read that to you in 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And this is what it says. This is Paul writing his second epistle to the church of Corinth. And this is what he says in verse 18. But we all, he includes himself, but we all are in the same boat, with open face beholding as in a glass. That word glass is a mirror. So the Bible is like a mirror. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, or the glory of Christ. Every time you open your Bible, you read your Bible is like a mirror that, what does it do? It reflects the glory of Jesus on you. And when that happens, you are changed, and you go from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Every time you open your Bible, every time you read a passage of Scripture, the glory of the text, which represents the glory of Christ, reflects on your soul, reflects on your person, and it transforms you. You're better off today than you were last year. You'll be better off in 2023 than you were in 2020. You'll be better off in 2024 than you were in 2018. Why? Because you've been exposing yourself more and more to the Word of God, and the more you expose yourself to the Word of God, the more you get changed, the more you are transformed, the more you go from glory to glory, from one level of spirituality to another level of spirituality, then ultimately, you get to go to glory. What's glory? Glory is heaven. Your final destination is heaven. That's glory. Now look here at the word grace and glory. God gives grace to the church militant. What's the church militant? The church militant's the church on earth. That's us. We're fighting the good fight of faith. We're fighting sin. We're fighting Satan. We're fighting the world. We're in a battle, the church militant. Here we are, soldiers of Jesus Christ, dressed in the full armor of God, shining as lights in the midst of darkness, the church militant, battling for the Lord. But then when we die, when we give up the ghost, when God removes our names from the earthly church roll and he transfers our membership to heaven, then we enter into our ultimate glory. You see, down here, when you open your Bible, you go from glory to glory. But then when you die, you become part of the church triumphant. You go from grace down here to glory in heaven. You know, in heaven, you don't need grace. Why? Why don't you need grace in heaven? Well, because you rest from all your battles. You rest from all your labors. So notice what the Bible says. God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory for benefits. My brothers and sisters, our ultimate destination is heaven, where we shall live in glory with Christ Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and all the glorious angels for all eternity. But we don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience the glory. We can have the glory down here. Of course, the glory down here is in measure. The more you open the Bible, the more you're exposed to the glory. The more you receive the Bible, the more you're in the Lord. The more you attend church, the more you attend prayer, you go from glory to glory. This is why you and I have an appetite for the things of heaven. Why? We're hooked on God. We're hooked on glory. We're hooked on grace. We're hooked on God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because we're born again. So, today's lesson reads, for the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. My brothers and sisters, tomorrow morning when you get up, ask God for grace. Ask God for grace. Open your Bibles and get some glory. End today's broadcast by finishing the song by Luther Barnes. I hope it'll minister to you. Until tomorrow, God bless you.
I remember the time when I strayed away, even though I knew the word, yet I would obey. God's mercy and His grace stay with me and brought me all the way. God's grace, it's amazing grace. Lord said,
God
he said I wouldn't make it.
God
some people said
God
that I wouldn't be here today, but
God
look at me, look at me.
I
made it,
I made it.
Yeah. By the grace of God. But I sit down and look back down to the years I have to share so many tears. But I made it,
I made it.
But I made it far.
God,
I made it.